listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it's Eva, and I'm here with another episode of Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. If you're listening for the first time, make sure you hit that subscribe button or whatever platform you're listening to me on. Also, if you have like 5 extra seconds, go ahead and leave a comment, rate, all that great stuff, because that's highly appreciated. But yeah, we are going to jump right into this. We are discussing season 2 of Big Little Lies, and I'm actually not going to say I'm excited to talk about it because I want to say that I don't think this is going to be a long episode, but honestly, I don't know how long this will be because we're going old school here, guys. We are discussing this without any notes. It has been a long time since I have done that. I usually try to have some notes so we can stay on task and I can make sure I cover all the points that I want to cover. But for this one, the reason why I'm not going to have notes is because I essentially just want to, I essentially want to go character by character and just kind of break down the season that way. Because honestly, guys, not a lot happened, and we're going to talk about the characters, we're going to talk about the season as a whole, because I think you're going to be surprised by some of the things that I do have to say about the season as a whole, not necessarily the individual characters. But let's talk the season first. So we came back with season 2 of Big Little Lies. Season 1, I talked about season 1 previously. This was when I was still named, or when the podcast was still Glam Deets. So it's back there a little bit because season 1 came out in 2017, or like I don't even know what part of 2017, but it was around there. And so I did talk about season 1, and I enjoyed season 1. I told you guys I read the book. I thought the book was interesting, and I wanted to see how they did the show. And for the most part, the show went page by page with the book, and I think they highlighted the most important things that needed to be highlighted. So when they told us, because Big Little Lies is not a series, it is a one book thing. There's only one book. There are no other books. It's just one novel book by Leanne Moriarty. That's it. So when everyone was like, oh, we should get a season 2, I want a season 2, I was of the minority opinion that we did not need a season 2 because honestly, after everything happens with Perry dying and all that, we don't really need to know. I mean, you could want to know what happens to the, as they are known in season 2, the Monterey Five. We can want to know what happens to them, but I mean, we don't need to know. And I think this season 2, so when they said they were doing season 2, I was a little bit surprised, but not really, because I mean, there are heavy hitters all up and down this series. I mean, we have Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, Shailene Woodley, Laura Dern, Zoe Kravitz, and that's our Monterey Five. And then they added in for season 2, Meryl Streep. So I mean, it's just a show full of gems as far as acting goes. And honestly, I don't have any complaints about the acting at all. I think for the acting was what I expected from this caliber of actors. But when they were like, oh, we're going to give you a season 2, I was like, okay, this could go wrong. And it could go wrong because it's kind of a thing where you have a source material, you complete that source material, and then you try to create more from the source material that has finished. So it can go one of two ways. It can go really well, or it can go really wrong. It can go really well if you can find a compelling enough story to tell that will keep you intrigued throughout. Or it can go horribly wrong because you're trying to force a story that we didn't necessarily need. So season 2 is kind of a hodgepodge of the two because, like I said, we have the Monterey Five. So someone's or some people's storylines are going to suffer in this season. The season was only 7 episodes. And you guys know, I love me a short season. you will probably rarely, if ever, hear me say that I want more episodes, but the way that this season shaped up, I think we could have had one more episode, possibly, or they could have rewrote some of the episodes to fit things in, to add a little bit more, because how we end things is not really a cliffhanger, but I mean, I feel like I kind of wanted to see how that, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, I guess you would say, it was like an artist, like if an artist did something, it's like, oh, it was the artist's choice to do that. It's like the director's choice to be like, oh, and we're going to leave it at this and we'll let the audience figure out how everything ends. I would have rather seen that whole thing and how that played out versus a lot of what we got this season, because a lot of it I really didn't need. So we'll probably circle back to the season as a whole, but I think this is the time where we need to get into the actual characters. So, I mean, how do I do this? Do I do this from like the most boring storyline to the most interesting storyline, or the least progressive storyline, or the storyline that progressed the least to the ones that progressed the most? Okay, we're just going to do it like this. So the ones who really didn't really have a lot happening, if you will, I mean, for the most part, none of them really had a lot happening. I think the biggest storyline storyline that had a lot happening, and it seemed to be what the season two like really sank its teeth into, was Celeste's storyline, because I mean, it is her husband who died, and while his death and his murder had consequences for all the parties involved, it, I think, affected her the most, and I think that's why we had a lot of more interesting things happen with her storyline. But let's talk about Shailene Woodley's character. Let's talk about Jane. Jane was always came off as like the innocent type. She's young. She's going through a traumatic thing. She's been raped by Celeste's husband. And then she was involved in this murder of him. And now she has, well, not now she has a child. She's always had this child who's a product of a rape. But you would never know that he was a product of rape, because just her relationship with Ziggy and as a whole is just super, it's just, I think their relationship is really great, and their relationship is one of the relationships when we're talking parent to child that I really like, and she's very open with him throughout. But we get her with meeting this guy, which I don't think I wrote his name down. But they give her a, I guess you can call him love interest. So, I mean, I guess for us, this season was kind of dealing with not only Ziggy finding out that his father raped his mother, but then also finding out that his father is the father of his friends that he's been hanging around with this entire time. And then also, now he has this like grandmother who just appeared out of nowhere. So it's just all the stuff that he has going on in his life. But then we have Jane. She has her coworker who's interested in her. And so we kind of see her trying to navigate that while still dealing with what has happened to her as far as the whole rape is concerned. And Ziggy is like, I don't know how old these kids are. I think they're like 6 or 7, somewhere around there. It's hard when they're like all really tiny to try to figure out how old they are when they don't say, but they're like somewhere around that age range. So like it's been a while, but you can see she still is dealing with this. So we kind of see her trying to navigate that and try to navigate what a relationship looks like. And so her storyline, I mean, not much really has changed for her, because even how it ends, they still kind of really don't end up being in a relationship, but they are still trying to navigate what that looks like. So, I mean, not a lot really happens for Jane and her storyline. And then we have, who do I want to do? Let's do Renata, because while Renata's, I don't feel like she had an interesting, I will say for Renata, let's say Renata. We're going to come back to Renata. And let's talk about, oh my gosh, let's do Madeline. Because Madeline was kind of like our main character in season one. And this season, she kind of still had a kind of relevant storyline, but not really, because hers too was residual from season one when she cheated on her husband. And he finally finds out that about it because her older daughter ends up spilling the beans accidentally. And so we essentially spend majority of this season watching her and her husband try to navigate if they should still be in a relationship. And it's more so Ed, because Ed is like, and Ed frustrated me a little bit this season, because after he found out, okay, I know it hurts. You have to process your emotions and how you want to deal with it and move forward with things. But then it gets to a certain point where you have to be like, okay, you need to make some decisions and you need to let the other parties involved know what those decisions are. Because it just seemed like he was just dragging it out. And so it just made the storyline feel dragged out, because Madeline's trying to talk to him, but he's not giving her any answers. He's not really communicating with her. And so they're essentially living in limbo. And even for Madeline, I don't think she has grown as a person either this season, because she's like, oh, I'm never going to do this again. I've learned from my mistakes, blah, blah, blah. But did she really learn from her mistakes? Because I mean, Madeline is a liar. Like, she's the one who put the Monterey Five on the path of lying to the police anyway, when they could have just been like, oh, it was self-defense and that would have been that. But she's the one who's like, say he tripped and he fell. So even from that, she didn't really grow from that. And then she's like, oh, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm never going to do this again. But she's still keeping secrets from her husband, especially involving like the kids and her whole thing going on with the other ladies. So, I mean, are we really truly to believe that she's changed? And even with therapy, like, they go to what seems to be the only residential therapist in Monterey, but we go to this therapist and she's essentially trying to tell her, you know, this is what's wrong with you. And she's not even really wanting to take her advice seriously. And she's trying to do all these other things to compensate and to prove that she has changed, but she doesn't really want to look at what the actual issue is within herself. So I don't know. I just feel like that whole storyline, yeah, finally in the end, as like, oh, I think after dragging this out for 7 episodes, he's like, oh, well, we should renew our vows. And they made it very dramatic, like he's going to ask for a divorce. But it's like, oh no, we should renew our vows. I'm just like, you know what? I'm done with the storyline. So, I mean, not much happened over there either. I think Ed maybe a little bit, but then not really, because he still ends up being passive because, like, I don't know. Nothing much really changed for Madeline's story. So that's Madeline. Let's talk about Bonnie, because we meet Bonnie's mom and get a little bit more insight into Bonnie's background. And we know Bonnie is the one who pushed Perry down the stairs. So essentially she's the one who like committed the crime, but then everyone else, their accessories, because they covered it up. But so we get her mom, who of course, you know, Bonnie's our residential Black. And when we get Black people in the show, it's like very apparent, because we got a teacher this season who was Black. And I was just like, it's just not a lot of Black people in this show. But her mom shows up and she's like into this voodoo stuff. And it's like, oh, something's going on with you. You need to tell me what's going on with you. I can see the visions, all this stuff. And I'm just like, okay, you guys are really taking it there. Okay. So all that's happening and her mom ends up have a heart attack or something. And so then we just deal with a bunch of scenes with like Bonnie in hospital, Bonnie flashbacks to Bonnie's childhood, where apparently it seems like she was being abused both physically and emotionally by her mom. And so it's just like all this stuff that was just kind of like, I felt like this happened a lot this season, just in general. Even when we talk about Celeste and like her flashbacks and stuff, and we get all these flashbacks of things where it's just like, oh, we're going to flashback to this and it's kind of relevant, but we're also going to make it look like really pretty and intriguing and all this other stuff. It was just like, but why was like my thing coming out of it. And so that was a lot of Bonnie's scenes, was a flashback to her when she's a child. And not even, you don't even hear anything from those flashbacks. It's like covered over with like ocean sounds and ambiance and all that stuff. And then it's just like back to the present. And so it's just a lot of that that happens with Bonnie. And then essentially she comes to the conclusion that she never really loved her husband and she wants to get a divorce. And it's just like, okay. And honestly, I'm trying to think back and I feel like I didn't really get that from season one. And then that just kind of happened for season two. And I was like, okay, so that happened. Completely weird. So like that's another storyline that's just like not much happened, but I mean it does eventually lead to, and she's always been guilty or felt guilty about pushing Perry and has always wanted to go to the police. We even see her go to the police station and sit outside but not go in. And so we know that this has been wearing on her, but she's never really acted on it. And so then that essentially, it's kind of her journey leads to her essentially going and turn herself in and set herself free. So I feel like the justification for her being able to set herself free was to be like, oh, I never really loved Nathan, and set him free so he doesn't have to. I don't know. It was just whatever. It was weird. Bonnie's storyline, like a lot of people's. So yeah, that was Bonnie. And then her mom passed and all that other stuff. It was a lot happening, but not a lot happening, if that even makes sense. So let's talk about Renata. Renata also is someone whose storyline really didn't progress much. I mean, she does find out that her husband is a cheating, money laundering bastard. And I don't understand why when she found out that he lost all of her money, yes, I said that twice, why she did not go immediately to divorce him. And then she found out that he slept with the nanny in court and did all that. Like, and this is also, if I do ever get a nanny for whatever kids I have in the future, she will be an old woman. And that is just that, because I don't have time. I literally do not have time. So even after all that, and she still did not divorce him, but when she came home and she saw after all, and they kept like, you see her like walking through the empty house, come home and this empty house because all their stuff, because they filed for bankruptcy, so all their stuff is gone. And so that final scene when she comes home and she walks through the empty living room and she hears the train going, and she walks in there, she's like, you still have this train? And he's like, oh yeah, I found somebody who gave me money for it. And he owns it, but he thinks I'll take care of it. And that switch, and I was like, tear that train set up. And she went psycho on him. I was like, finally. Because she had her moments, like, in the car when she like, pulled over or whatever and had him. Did she have him get out of the car? Did she get out of the car? I think she kicked him out of the car. Like that whole scene, like she's had her little moments, but that scene, that like climax scene when she tears up that room, I was like, finally. But Renata did have a lot of great one-liners. She was like, I will not be rich. Like that was on like all over like social media and articles and all that stuff. And so she had a lot of one-liners and she was very dramatic. And I think it painted a good picture of just like the type of overdramatic personality that Renata had, which was consistent with season one, because I mean season one revolves around someone biting Amabella and like that whole drama. So she's a very dramatic person that carried into season two. So I mean for her, she doesn't really change, she stays consistent, but I do think she does come full circle as far as the decision she makes, which I don't even really know what she's like, I'm done. So I'm assuming she's done with her husband, as she should be. But yeah, that was Renata. So the main story that seemed to be was this whole Celeste dealing with Perry's death. She still is like, she's in therapy. She has all these videos and like messages from him that she's listening and watching, and she's starting to like act out. So she's taking medication that's causing her to drive while sleeping and get into accidents. And so she's essentially like putting herself and potentially her son's in danger. She's sleeping with a bunch of men. She's not really remembering. And so this is where we have Meryl Streep's character show up, because it's Perry's mom. And it's kind of like, which I want them to do more with, because I thought they were going to do more with this, but they really didn't, where it kind of seemed like she had came and she was going to be, Mary Louise was going to be working with the police to try to get to the bottom of what happened to her son. But it kind of was happening on like the sidelines, and it wasn't really like she showed up and she's like, oh, I'm going to get the answers for you, and she's going to help them. It's more so like she was just being what we find out to be is Mary Louise, who is delusional, I think is the best word to describe her. Like, she has a sense of things and it's hard to change her sense and opinion of things. And so she just shows up and she is like, yeah, my son is the best. She thinks Perry is flowers and sunshine and is the best thing, and he does no wrong. And so when she is being told all these horrible things about him, like he has been abusive to Celeste, he raped someone and there was a child born as a product of that rape, and she still is like trying to blame Jane and was like, well, I now know that Celeste and Perry were into had a disgusting sex life that involved being harmful to each other. So how do I not know that that is what you were doing with him, and all like just disgusting behavior. And she was someone who I was just like, okay, you know what? It's time for her to go, because she is really trying it, and like trying it hardcore to the point where she was like, okay, now I'm going to try to take these kids from you. And you guys know how I feel about storylines that involve kids being taken away from their parents when I don't believe that they should be taken away from their parents. Yes, Celeste has some issues. I do think that there needs to be some structure and boundaries as far as how she deals with the death of Perry. But also, like, and they don't really know this, but she was involved in the murder of him. And domestic violence is a weird thing, because you never really can understand the situation unless you're in that situation. So it's hard to be like, oh, you should have left. And how do you still love him when he did this, and this to you? Or like, it's hard to be that way, because you just really don't know unless you're in that situation. But also, like, it trickles down to the kids. And so I feel like Celeste needs to be in therapy. The kids need to be in therapy, because one of them was already acting out when Perry was alive. And then they were still acting out. So like, they need to be in therapy, and they need to like really deal with it. And then to find out like one of the more brutal attacks that Perry did on Celeste, one of the kids filmed, like, they just need to be in therapy and need to work through it together. But I think it's interesting how it all played out, and we lead up to our final episode, which is pretty much our court showdown between Mary Louise and Celeste, because Celeste has had it with her lawyer. She doesn't think, which I kind of feel the same way too. I was like, girl, you not really doing much. Like, I'm sure you're expensive and I feel like you're not doing your job. So Celeste was like, I'm a lawyer. I'm going to step up and I'm going to question Mary Louise myself. And so that was kind of like what the whole final episode was. And so we got to see that and shed light a little bit into what happened between Perry and Mary Louise, but not really. So it's like a lot of vagueness with these flashbacks that are kind of like, is this really how it happened? Or is this how this one person believes it happened? So a lot of vagueness with the flashbacks, because we got the flashbacks to the car accident. And so Celeste is pretty much telling Mary Louise, this is what Perry told me. But I mean, Perry was a kid, so I mean, that could have been how he interpreted it. So I don't know. I was just not a fan of the flashbacks that happened this season, because it was just like, what was the purpose? It was just like, it was there to be some type of an artistic thing and not really there to add any context or content, if you will. So yeah, so we have that whole thing. And I mean, I think that Meryl Streep is like legendary. She is legendary. There is no thing. She is legendary. And I mean, she proved that in this role. And if you have not seen a lot of things that Meryl Streep did, or if you're like, I don't really understand the hype, I mean, she proves in this series, like, why she is who she is. But then also, so, I mean, that's kind of it, what happened with the season. So then after everything that happens, the judge rules that the boys will stay with Celeste because she's like, they've already been through enough. She's not going to take them, add to their stress and their, they clearly need to be in therapy, but she's also not going to add to it by ripping them from their mother. And so also, I have some issues with this court scene because the judge is about to give her ruling. And then Mary Louise stands up. It's like, well, can I just say something like, wait a minute. So we can now interrupt the judge's ruling and add extra stuff. Isn't that what the closing argument is for? I'm so confused. Like, why? I was so confused with that. But anyway, so she's like, yeah. And so that whole thing happens. And then after Bonnie's mom dies, and then she's like, okay, obviously I've just never been in love with my husband. And so then they all together, the Monterey Five, after they all have their groundbreaking, I'm doing air quotes, moments for the season, they all go to the police station and it looks like they're turning themselves in or are going to tell the truth about what really happened with Perry. And that is how we end the season. And I'm just like, okay, girl, I guess. I mean, I didn't really need a whole 7 episodes for you to just show me this. I wanted more. And you guys know I love me like a good mystery, some thriller, like let me solve something, put my mind to work. I like that kind of a thing. And that's what really initially drew me to the book Big Little Lies and why I was so interested in seeing how they translated that from book to screen for season 1. And I think season 2 was just like, we had all these actors and we wanted to utilize them for another season. And this is a story that we want to tell. And I don't think that it was a strong enough story to warrant an entire season 2. So with that being said, let's talk about some of the things that have been happening in the interwebs or on the articles and all of those things. So apparently there was some type of drama as far as with the what was going on behind the scenes. So there was something going on with, so the director for this season was Andrea Arnold, and the recent things that they quoted in the article, they said she's a British filmmaker, she did American Honey, that which I've seen, and I thought American Honey was interesting. And I think that whole, like, the direction of American Honey kind of fits in with how like season 1 went. But season 1 was directed by, oh my gosh, I want to say his name is like Jean-Marc Vallée. Yeah, Jean-Marc Vallée. So he directed season 1, but he couldn't direct season 2 because he had a conflict because he did Sharp Objects, which makes sense because Sharp Objects kind of had a similar feel to Big Little Lies, not gonna lie. So that makes sense. But apparently there's all these rumors talking about HBO told her she's going to have free control to be able to do what she wanted to do for season 2. But then the president of HBO programming came on and he was like, so they're doing, what do you call it? It's like the summer where they all go around and they're like, oh, this is what we have coming up for our program or whatever. It was a press tour, Television Critics Association press tour. And so Casey Boyce was like, pretty much, we never said that. We still wanted the season to have a similar feel. And he's like, this is just what happens in TV. Like, this is normal for like a director to do something and then another director to come in who probably did the previous season and then kind of like have a little input or whatever. So who knows what really happened? But apparently Jean-Marc came in and his team did the whole post-production of season 2. And that's kind of why you have like a similar look and feel to season 1. But I don't know. I feel like this is kind of reminding me of like all those movies that we've had especially recently, where there's been a very clear direction turn in the middle of the project, and you can kind of feel it within the actual content that you're watching. It's kind of like there just seems like there's something missing in season two. And I don't know if Andrea would have, if she would have done post, would season two have looked completely different? And I think that's a question that we're always going to have, because I don't know, season two for me personally was just lacking a lot of what I wanted to see, which was more mystery, more answers to some of the questions we have from season one, just more inertia and movement. I just feel like this was so, for it to be 7 episodes, season two was so slow. Also, there was apparently some type of drama, not really drama, but like something going on with Meryl Streep, one of the actresses who played the lawyer, who played Celeste's lawyer. She was like, she was giving some talk back to the director on her character when she was getting notes about her character on set, because she didn't want her character to come off. She wanted to protect her character. She didn't want the character to come off as evil. But I mean, you can't really say she's evil, but she does not change. Even when she loses and she leaves Monterey and goes back to San Francisco or wherever it is she's from, she still believes the same thing, that her son is not as bad as they made him out to be. He didn't rape anyone. He wasn't abusive. Like, she still believes those things, and she didn't really change anything. So I don't know. It's just all really weird. But I think overall consensus, and I mean, I don't normally talk about like critic response and audience response to TV shows, but it's kind of the same thing as what has been happening a lot with movies, where the critics are like, this season was, I mean, it wasn't the best that it could have been, and the finale was just like a limp to a sleep. And a lot of the audience is like, I mean, it was okay. They were more so, they thought that the showdown between Celeste and Mary Louise was on and popping. And they were excited to see these high performing actors on the screen. But I mean, I still feel like it's mixed. But even on IMDb, it's about the same. The ratings for each episode is about an 8.8. I just did it out of my head, so who knows if that's right, because there's some that are like 8.5 and some that's like a 9.1. So, you know, we'll just say it's like 8.8. But yeah, so I don't know. So that's the drama or whatever. And then Boyce also talked about if there would be a season three. And David E. Kelly, who was the showrunner on this, Leanne Moriarty worked with David E. Kelly on season two. So she did have input on to what season two looked like. But I mean, when you talk about like the actual story and then what actually ends up being the season, it's kind of like, but how much of it did it? But I mean, some of, if you read Leanne's books, it's kind of like, you know, what's happening here? We need to, and she puts a lot of details. I feel like when you don't have all that detail, sometimes it could just be like, okay. And also writing a book and writing for the screen, completely different things. But I digress. So he talks about if there would be a possible season three, and David E. Kelly has also mentioned this when they did the winter press tour. David E. Kelly said that after season two, he feels like it's pretty much done. He doesn't feel like there's much, if any, story to tell in a season three. And so he believes that they're done. But remember, this was during the winter press tour. So, I mean, when people give you money, your answers can change super quickly. But Play said he is not going to go and say that there won't be season three. But he said that how the story is and how it finished, he does not believe there is a story to tell for season three. And even for season two, he went into a possible season two saying, like, is there a story to tell for there to be season two? And he believed that after season one, the story would be like, what does the aftermath of the lie look like? And so that's kind of how they end up with a season two. But for season three, he's like, they will have to come to him and be like, this is the story we have. And it has to be like a really compelling story to warrant a season three. Me personally, I don't think we need a season three. I think we just need to let it go. I think they should have let it go for season one. But alas, we got a season two. So with that, they need to just let it ride and die and just be like, bonjour, go in peace, because I just don't think we need to put the effort into trying to make a season three happen when there's nothing to make happen with. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about season two of Big Little Lies. I mean, it is what it is. It was fun while it lasted. I did watch it week to week, which I guess says something, because you guys know I struggled with fall TV. But I mean, it also was a short season. You guys know I love me a short season regardless. So with that being said, that is all I have to say about Big Little Lies. I don't know what you guys thought about season two of Big Little Lies. Did you have any favorite parts? What did you want to see from season two? Do we need a season three? Let me know all of that. You can let me know by commenting on the Instagram post related to this episode, or you can tweet me. But yeah, I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram @CurrentlyBinging and on Twitter @CurrentBinge.